Now, in Cambyses' childlessness, there seemed a welcome chance of peace, and Bardia moved quickly to seize it. In July, he was formally invested by the Magi, dressed in the robes of his father and the royal Kidaris. At the same time, he married Atessa, Cambyses' surviving sister bride. Succession and bloodline, both now seemed secured. But while the new king, confident of his supremacy, withdrew for the summer to the cool of Ecbatana, conspiracy and rumour still swirled across the baking lowland plains. On the trunk road which led from Syria to the Zagros, the royal army now stood leaderless. The highest-ranking officers, scions of great families, had returned from the African adventure, battle-hardened and intimate with the workings of power, often beyond their years. Cambyses' lance-bearer, for instance, a distant cousin of the king by the name of Darius, was a mere 28. Rank in the Persian court was measured by proximity to the royal person. So the young Darius's title, far from implying menial status, had been a splendid and prestigious honorific. It marked him out publicly as a major player at court and left him privy to the most sensitive royal secrets. Darius could see, with the pitiless eye of a born politician, that Bardia's position might not be as strong as it had originally appeared. The clan chief's loyalty was divided and unsure. When the estates of those regarded as Bardia's opponents, their pastures and herds, their slaves and houses, were all confiscated, the split in the nobility was confirmed. In the eyes of many Persians, Bardia had branded himself a disgrace to his country and to his ancient throne. One king that summer had already passed away. Now plans were hurriedly made for the disposal of a second. The conspirators were seven in total. All were of the highest rank. Among them was Darius, the young lance-bearer of Cambyses. When Atanes, a co-conspirator, suggested the recruitment of more conspirators, and playing for time, Darius argued for immediate action. They should rely, he insisted, not on force of numbers, but on speed and surprise. And a rare opportunity was indeed now opening. Autumn was on its way. Soon Bardia the king would be descending from the mountains. If the assassination squad could ambush him on the open road, then he might be dispatched with relative ease. The seven conspirators and their accomplices rode at a scorching pace, desperate not to lose their chance. And on the 29th of September, 522 BC, in Nicaea, they tracked Bardia to a fort named Sikya Vautish. The guards, overawed by the rank of the new arrivals, scurried to let them in. Only as they approached the royal quarters did anyone think to challenge them. But by then it was too late. The assassins, overpowering the courtiers, burst into Bardia's chamber. The king, it is said, was with a concubine. It is also said that it was Darius's brother, faithful Artaphernes, who finally plunged the dagger home. And Bardia, the son of Cyrus, king of the Persians, slumped dead to the ground. Or did he?